So this morning we're going to hear the word of the Lord from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. It's a pretty familiar story, I think, to most of us, and a lot of kind of what's going on and what it's about is familiar. But when we look at these two women, Martha and Mary, Martha being really busy and Mary kind of not, at least as we see it. When you look at that, I think you could very easily get sort of a sermon about busyness and just what's bad about busyness. But I think that what's going on here is a little bit deeper than that. And so this is a sermon about what C.S. Lewis calls inordinate loves. It's about law and order, and we'll probably see a little bit of the blues thrown in. So, most importantly, let's turn our attention to God's Word. So, Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day, and Lord, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, we know that we're in the midst of a season of busyness, that there's much going on and much to think about and remember and much to look forward to at the same time. But we know, Lord, that your word is sure and true, and that you have sent it out and promised that because it is yours, that it will not return void. So we pray that you would cause your word to settle into us, to sit with us, and that we would bear fruit by attending to it and listening to it and treasuring it up in our hearts, Father. We pray this in the name of your Son. Amen. So is Martha's problem busyness, or is it that we're seeing here what happens when what we truly love abandons us if it's not what we're supposed to truly love? Is her problem busyness? Well, yeah, kind of it is. Right off the bat, Luke gives us a little picture of that, and he says that she's distracted with much serving. And the word for distracted there is actually literally translated drawn away. So it's not just that Martha has a lot going on, but there's a bigger issue there. And the serving isn't necessarily the problem, but it's kind of a catalyst for the bigger problem. Another thing to kind of notice right off the bat with how Luke treats this is that it fits into the major themes of his gospel. Luke likes to highlight how Jesus is there for the oppressed and the marginalized and the people who can kind of get brushed off into the corners. He really shows in many different ways how Jesus does this. And within the context of this chapter, this comes right after the parable of the Good Samaritan. So Jesus has been talking about, as Luke presents this, Jesus has been talking about how far you should go in serving and how if you're trying to put limits on it right from the get-go, that something might be wrong with how you're approaching how you should serve. But here, we almost get a little bit of, we get that developed even a little bit more where we say, but don't get caught up in what you're doing necessarily and make sure that you're doing it for the right reasons. So it's along these lines that Martha's request really convicts her. And as she opens her mouth upon being distracted, she really, to her, is kind of doing what she thinks she should and sort of playing the game the way she thinks the game is played. But Jesus, when we get to his answer, really sort of dismantles that and disarms that in an amazing way. So Martha's a mess because of all the serving that she's prepossessed with, right? And this causes her to look at someone else, to look at her sister, And to see not somebody sitting at Jesus' feet because of Mary's love for Jesus, but to see someone not in line with Martha's own inordinate loves. So Martha's got things out of order, and it's not just that the serving is bad per se, but it's that she's got kind of a system she's following that's sort of designed for failure. Her problem presents as too much busyness, but really it's those inordinate loves. It's that she's got things out of order. And really, if we're going to be honest, the plain old Testament word, that's tricky to say, old Testament word, would be idolatry. I think Martha's distraction comes from loving and valuing something more than she loves God. She has Jesus in her house, and she definitely values him, but it sounds like there are other things going on. And Jesus actually will really play upon that and kind of show her that in an interesting way. But when Martha talks to Jesus and says, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." She's basically saying, you know, Mary looks like an acceptable sacrifice, I think. She needs to come and help me because this is most important. And she's also playing into the way, you know, maybe some other teachers or leaders in Jesus' day would treat women. And she's saying, look, Lord, you're the Lord, so you sit there and teach, but just let me have her. Just give me the girl and nobody gets hurt. And she can come in here and help me, and then I can continue to serve what I'm really trying to serve here. So you get your thing and I get my thing and everything's okay. So it makes sense. She just wants everything to follow along, you know, those rules that she has set up. And she's kind of like her own little Pharisee in that way. And I think that's something that we can all identify with. But she's got another problem, which is that she's dealing with the Son of God himself. So he takes a look at her and he actually diagnoses the real problem. What's amazing is how he does that and how he sort of counsels her through it in a short but really compassionate and loving way. He's gentle and understanding and truthful at the same time, and he sees the game that Martha's playing and he turns it on his head. But right off the bat, what he does first is that he truly sees her, and he doesn't say, Mary gets to stay where she is, or, okay, Mary, go help Martha. But he says, Martha, Martha. He looks at her and sees her. And the repetition of her name is the clue that he's really looking at her and he really loves her and values her. And he feels for her, even though he knows that she's kind of got things out of order. Jesus' diagnosis of the real problem really cuts through to the real issue. And the way he does this is, in the original Greek, there's a play on words that he uses that really makes it stick. So Jesus says, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. So he sees her, he recognizes her and loves her, but then he says, you're anxious, which the Greek word for that, the root of that word, actually is to divide or distribute. So in the context of being anxious and using it that way, he's kind of saying, Martha, you're torn into pieces about all kinds of things. And then we look ahead and he says, Mary's found the one thing. So she's got a united, fixed, working, valuable one thing. But Martha's got all these little things that have basically torn her down into less than she's supposed to be. She thinks that by setting up her own system, and by playing into it and kind of doing this little quid pro quo proposal with Jesus, that she's going to get more. She's going to be able to serve this, you know, serve what she wants and get more out of it. And really what she gets is less. She gets torn down. I made a mistake with the sermon title. I was tossing a lot of things around, and one pure and holy passion is really what Martha needs, right? But I was also thinking about this old blues song by a guitar player and singer named Freddie King called Tore Down. And the line that he repeats, or kind of the stanza that he repeats a few times in that song, goes, "Well, I'm tore down, I'm almost level with the ground. I feel like this when my baby can't be found." So I thought of that, and I thought, that's really what Martha's dealing with. She's been torn down, and she doesn't know what to do. She's just tore down to the ground, and she's looking around at anything that she can do to kind of feed that and get and feel better by serving the wrong thing. But the thing is, Jesus doesn't necessarily, he diagnoses her condition correctly, and he, even though he's being gentle, he's truthful, and he shows her, look, what you're doing has actually reduced you. It hasn't helped you, and this arrangement won't help, it'll make it worse, this kind of proposal that you have. And then Jesus compares and contrasts Mary and Martha, but he doesn't do it the way Martha would do it, or would kind of think to do it. What's different about Mary is that her sitting at Jesus' feet is because her love is in order. So it's not that Mary necessarily, or sorry, Martha, those are easy to flip around. It's probably not the last time I'll do that. It's not that Martha necessarily needs to stop serving. It's that she needs to stop looking at it and letting it take over and become a little idol. She needs to stop keeping Jesus on the shelf with everything else so that things just get torn apart and she gets torn down and she becomes less than who she's supposed to be. it reminds me of one of our family favorite movies besides Ghostbusters is the Western Tombstone. And if you haven't seen it, it's about Wyatt Earp and his brothers and how they... it's a common Western theme. They try to leave behind the life of the lawman and violence and gunslinging and take up a peaceful life. And they move to Tombstone to try to do that. But the problem is that kind of trouble basically, through no fault of their own, follows them. And it's Wyatt Earp's brother Virgil who first goes back to, you know, wearing the badge. And when Wyatt confronts him, and is saying, you know, this is not what we're here to do. We wanted to get away from this. What are you doing? What's wrong with you? Virgil says, you know, if we want to have a future in this town, it's got to have some law and order. And I thought of that, and I thought, it's kind of like Martha. If you want to have a future, if you want these things to be in their proper place, then you have to look at the right order for them. So what's the right order? Well, Jesus tells Martha that Mary's found the one thing that's necessary, the one thing to focus on. And he calls it the good portion, which again plays on his wordplay because it's got the same root, and it's about, you know, sort of, if you have a bunch of choices, there's one thing to look at and really sort of, you know, put blinders on so that all you've got is that one thing. And this sounds like a lot of his other teachings, right? This sounds like the man who sold everything to buy that field that had the treasure in it. Everything else was basically dispensable for that one thing because it's the most important thing. So Mary's chosen the good portion, and the way Jesus says that, and kind of the whole scene, is really reminiscent of Psalm 16, and that's why we read that for our Old Testament reading. I want to go back to it for a second, because I think as we're looking at Mary and Martha, and you read some of these phrases and terms in Psalm 16, they really start to jump out at you. "Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you." This is what Jesus is trying to teach Martha. "As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones, in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply." Now that's where Martha is at in the beginning, right? That really sounds like where she finds herself. She's got sorrows that are multiplying, and she's projecting them and extending them out to pull other people, her sister, in. "Drink offerings of blood I will not pour out, or take their names on my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance." So this is what Mary's enamored with. And to Martha, that looks terrible because She's leaving behind what Martha values, but really, Martha needs to see what Mary values and put that in its right place too. What Mary has won't be lost. It's the house that's built on the rock. So when the trouble actually comes, and no matter what your foundation's built on, or what foundation you are built on, trouble is going to come. It's a question of, has what you built been built on something that's going to make it stick around? So this passage, I think, teaches us that we need that too. We're really just like Martha. And this speaks not only to people who are tempted towards keeping themselves super busy, being super busy, having a lot that's going on, but really, even if your problem is the opposite and you don't have a lot, or you struggle with laziness, or you struggle with any other thing, when we put those loves out of order and we have those inordinate loves, then it always leads to trouble. And so we need to look at that and make sure that we are organizing that the way that we should. So we need to see that our greatest need is to make sure that we do have regular, consistent time at Jesus' feet. We need to make sure that He is the most important thing, and that carries over into constantly seeking after Him. So the Psalms say, I rise early. The psalmist says, I rise early to seek you. That's because the Lord's his number one priority. We need the ordinary means of grace. We need to soak ourselves in His Word and pour out our hearts to the Father in prayer. We need to honor and serve Christ's bride, the church, making sure that we don't forsake gathering for worship, but that we're faithful to it, that we're faithful to fellowship with other believers and encouraging each other and strengthening each other up. But we're also not hermits, so that's not all that we do, right? We have jobs and we have pursuits and other things that we are called to do. So the trick is, with that Martha work, we have to keep things arranged the way that they're supposed to be. We have to remember that we are the creature and honor the Creator. And I think that helps us look, you know, there's a sort of a time management, analogy, about the rocks, the big rocks and the little rocks. If you ever heard that, you have a container and you have to try to fit all these rocks in. And the way to do it isn't to dump the little rocks in first and then put big rocks in and see if you can make them fit. But if you put a big rock in, then you can fit little rocks around it. Well, what's the big rock? The big rock is sitting at Jesus' feet. And so while Martha maybe should be serving here in this story, Mary's picked something that she knows is a big rock that she needs right then. And if it has a little bit of a cost somewhere else, it's a worthy cost. That's a truly acceptable sacrifice. So we see sitting at Jesus' feet, we use that as a, you know, we use that to kind of encompass these things. That's what keeps us in order, and that's what reminds us that we have to keep the Lord where we should, and we have to honor Him and worship Him and glorify Him the way that we should. And the amazing thing is that gives us, what we get through that is the gospel, which is when we mess that up, which we are bound to do, like Martha or, you know, in any number of ways, He's good and faithful to forgive us, and He is with us. And so one of the most moving things to me about Jesus' response to Martha is that portion Mary has won't ever be taken. So not only is it the one good one, but it's the one that lasts forever, because His gospel is the word of truth and it lasts forever. So pray with me. Heavenly Father, we again thank You so much for Your word. Lord, we pray that You will help us to bury it in our hearts, and we pray that You'll help us to order our loves so that You are our greatest love, because You loved us first. When we would not have You at all, You took us on, and Your Son took on our sin and took it to the cross. And so help us, Lord, to constantly look up at the cross when we're distracted. Help us when we're trying to order our days and order our tasks to look to You, to make You our greatest treasure, because You are worth it, Lord. You are worthy of all of our praise and all of our adoration. So we ask you to continually remind us of that. We ask you to forgive us and be gracious with us when we inevitably fail at that. But through the power of your Spirit, Lord, we ask that you help us to do that more and more, to be able to come alongside others and encourage them as they do it and help them to learn how to do it. We ask that you help us to do that through your word, and we know that you are good and faithful to do that. And we praise you for your magnificent salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.